Welcome back to the Mobile Home Investing Lessons podcast with your host, John Fedro. Tune in weekly, plus listen to past episodes designed to make you money, save you time, and give you confidence as an active mobile home investor. Now, here's your host, John Fedro.
Welcome, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. This is the Mobile Home Investing Lessons podcast, and we're on episode 21. I can't believe we're already on episode 21 here. We have a special guest, a very exciting topic for you today, and a special guest, Tommy from Georgia. Tommy, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Thank you. I knew you were. Thank you so much for being here. Seriously, this is great. I'm very excited to get you in the co-hosting seat. I say that often, but this, I really am. We're talking about a topic that we've never talked about. I don't think any of my free videos on YouTube or any of these podcasts, we're talking about building a team with regards to mobile home investing when you're a mobile home investor, at least pertaining to your business, Tommy, you know, a team, who you're going to use, who you're going to use more often than other people. So we'll talk about all that today. And before we kind of talk about that, I want to, you know, kind of understand you and your business. You're doing amazing things where you are. So please, yeah, talk to, if you would, a little bit about kind of, you know, who you are, Tommy, and your a little bit of your business. And then also, if you have you been doing, I'm curious, I'm not even sure I remember this. If you're if you've been doing real estate, you know, some type of real estate before mobile homes, because I think we've only been working together for just a handful of months now.
Yeah, exactly. August of 16. So now, you know, here we are in early March. So we've done, you know, 16 deals since then. We're doing about 2 to 3 deals a month where we're actually on the sales side. We have 10 that are payment deals, 3 that were all cash, and then 3 we currently have in inventory. You know, 2 of them we're fixing up. One of them's, you know, basically ready to go. And the other two that we're fixing up are really recent purchases. One actually this week, and the other one I'm getting the keys today, type of thing where people are moving out. I did not have, I bought Progress before on the real estate side. I've done some passive investing, but I really have not been active where I'm doing everything like I'm doing now, in the mobile home business. So, you know, definitely, I mean, you have to work, but the program definitely works.
So let's kind of recap that. So all in all, so that's about 2 to 3 deals a month. So from getting started, like you said, 10 of those, when you sold them, they've been cash. No, 10 of them, when you sold them, they've been payment deals. 3
Correct.
When you sold, they were cash deals. And then 1 you closed this week and you purchased it. And then I think 2 you said that you got back.
Well, 1 I got back. The other 2 are actually in renovation. We literally just got the keys like this week. So we're just, you know, we're just kind of getting them started. So on the 10 payment deals we're averaging about $325 a month in payments. So we have about $3,200 a month coming in payments.
Oh, right on. Okay. Now, were any of those, a couple of questions. One, with repairs, what's the average? And I mean, all these homes have to be so different, ages, sizes, years. But
right.
Is there a more average repair cost that you're putting into these homes, or repairs that you're seeing, you know, every home needs this, every home needs this, or quite minimal from what you're finding?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, I mean, the best case scenario, which you occasionally run into, is you run into the house is ready to go. You know, it's a really nice mobile home, and you're getting it at a good price. Obviously, we've had situations like that. We haven't even had it clean. We can right away put it up for sale. Other times, we've not wanted to mess with major stuff, but you know, we're putting in 2 new bathrooms right now, one of our deals. But you know, we've built a good network of handymen and things like that. I mean, I guess flooring sometimes makes a big difference. So you know, putting in, you know, new wood flooring and painting the house can make a huge difference. We don't really. I mean, as far as the cost goes, I really kind of look at more of an after repair value. There's a certain number I want to be in, which is a lot of it's in your program on, you know, on what the number is. Everything we have been into is less than $10,000. You know, that really kind of is a number. I mean, ideally, it'd be better to be lower, of course, but sometimes they're double wides and they're big and, you know, things like that.
So you have these homes. Most of the homes have been sold on payments. Can you talk a little bit about what that average resale looks like?
Yeah, I think it's been anywhere from a low of $1,000 to a high of $10,000. You know, as a as a upfront payment, and then we've been averaging about, you know, $325 a month in payments. I mean, just like your program goes, I mean, there's been situations where, you know, which has been great, where we've been able to get basically all of our money back on the down payment almost, and then get, you know, the $325 a month for 5 years is all profit. So there's been some deals. I mean, they, as long as they pay, you know, it looks great on paper, situations. But then there's been other ones where we kind of follow your formula of, at least on paper, we want to be in it. We want to try to get all of our money back in 10 months. And that's kind of the goal, you know, including the repairs we put into lot rent, things like that.
Agreed. Now, so for all in, your acquisition costs, holding costs, repairs, recoup all of that as quick as possible. I kind of like to get a picture on the time frame. You know, when you first got started, did you hit the ground? And, you know, for the folks listening, what was your mindset, or what did you see? Did you, you know, some people it's kind of that analogy of a snowball kind of moving down a hill. You know, over time it gets bigger and faster and more inertia. But it seems like you started, you know, just, you know, fast from the beginning, just pedal to the metal, you know, first couple of weeks.
We were doing deals our first month, for sure. You know, I mean, just as far as, like I said, it definitely works, but you have to work, you know. So if you, and there's deals out there, so it took time, you know, doing all the things that you talk about, driving through parks and making connections, looking at ads and going through that whole process. But yeah, we had a pretty good start where right away we were doing, you know, we were making sales immediately.
Now, okay, so let's kind of talk about what goes into that as well. And we're getting, I like kind of where this is going, because you're in a decent area of Georgia. You know, there's mobile homes around you. You have, let's talk about your time. Do you do this full time before you were investing in mobile homes? I mean, you have two full time jobs as well, or what's kind of like your time that you're investing?
No, I do this full time.
Okay. So full time, that makes sense. And the capital that you have, because you're just, I mean, able to kind of hit the ground. You see a home, you're negotiating it, you're building rapport, you're able to close on it. The capital that you have, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I think that's been an advantage. I mean, everything we've done so far, we've paid cash, you know, for the mobile homes that we bought. I mean, obviously you're trying to buy wholesale and then you're trying to sell retail, you know, with financing or all cash. So one of the advantages has been, you know, I think this, talking about building a team, it really helps. I mean, if you don't have the money, it really helps to have a capital partner. So, you know, luckily I do have a capital partner, and, you know, potentially more than one, you know, who I'm working with. So he put up, you know, $50,000 to get started and said, okay, let's do this, you know. So that really helped to have the, you have to have the financial backing where we can, you know, aggressively go in. And, you know, we probably, I know me and you spoke about this, you know, we're trying to keep inventory like four deals, which is probably pretty high, but there's advantages to that, because a lot of times I've showed a person one home, they didn't like it, and I've been able to sell them a different home, you know, so.
Right. For the folks listening, you have so many homes in inventory, you know, 3, 4, 2, 1, however many you have. Tommy's got 4 at this particular point, and you can show people, you're right, 2 or 3 homes, and they're going to choose, obviously, the nicest one that they feel that they can afford at that time. And so it certainly helps selling homes. With that said, so you have the capital partner, which is huge, or which is just a good advantage, or which is a nice advantage. Now, with that said, you're doing all the work. I mean, this education is useless to this, you know, without you, Tommy, this money is useless without you. I mean, you are the one building a name for yourself. You're building a face for yourself. Let me ask you, with these 16 homes that you have, these are all in parks, correct?
Right, exactly. Right now they're all in parks.
And then how many actual parks are they within? Different parks.
That's actually in 7 parks. But what's interesting in the area I'm in is, you know, some of them you will have like a company that owns several parks in your area.
Yes.
So, you know, once you go through the approval process, it's just been easier. In most cases, it's been easier because you can go introduce yourself to the new manager and say, oh, yeah, you know, I'm working with Lynn over at XYZ Park, and she recommended we get to know each other. So in most cases, it's a pretty smooth transition. You don't even have to go through an approval process. I've only had that with one park where they wanted to do that also. But, you know, once you're approved, you know, you can kind of work with other parks too.
So let's kind of talk about the parks now, since we're on that subject, dealing with these managers, have, I guess, kind of two questions. Have you been happy dealing with these managers? And then second question, have they been happy dealing with you?
Yeah, overall, it's been really good. I mean, we've only had one bad experience. I mean, overall, I'm getting, you know, I've had some really good experiences with Parks, where I get referrals from Parks, because it's really kind of a win-win situation, because where they're trying to, you know, bring in good people to pay a lot rent. So in most cases, you know, 90% of the time, it's been a good experience. You know, we had one situation with a, you know, with a mobile home park where we had a good relationship, but then, you know, one of the regional managers came in, and I think she just kind of thought like, wow, you know, you're going in and you're selling cars in our car lot, as an example, you know, so they looked at me as competition and, you know, wanted to kind of eliminate that competition. So, you know, that was the only bad experience, because, you know, it got to a point where we were bringing in leads. Like, for example, I would have a lead, someone that wanted to buy the house, you try to get them approved and they would steal the lead, you know, so obviously that's another good reason to be diversified, not put all your eggs in one basket in one park, you know.
Agreed. Now, how many homes did you have in that park? Because you said it was going, I think you say it was going well, and then, you know, the regional manager sort of came in and, you know, put the kibosh to it.
I probably have four, and actually it's one of them I have in inventory now. I think a lot of it was a misunderstanding in their part, which I think, yeah, you know, I think we'll get out of the room fine on this last home we have. They actually might even buy it. We're talking to them about buying the home just to get out of there. But yeah, I think we had about four of them in there. It was probably our most active park in the beginning when I started working, you know, but actually the managers that I knew got fired, you know, and then the regional manager came in. Like I said, there was some misunderstanding, not to mention they looked at us as competition, you know.
What's your thought with mobile homes? I know you have mobile homes on land around you. What's the thought there with regards to, I mean, have mobile homes in parks just been keeping you too busy, or you just haven't switched over to mobile homes on land yet, or you really don't want to, or?
No, I want to. That's really kind of the next phase. I mean, we kind of got through half of your course and just started doing business, you know, consistently, you know, doing 2 to 3 a month. I really haven't had all the time, but now, I mean, I'm studying your land stuff, and I've actually started working on some, you know, I'm beginning to work on some land deals right now. So it's just kind of, I'm just kind of at the beginning state. We haven't closed any deals, but yeah, I think that's a natural progression where you want to get into that as well.
Agreed. Yeah, cool. Okay. All right. Wasn't sure. Everyone's a little different. And I think maybe the natural progression from there maybe would be, you know, if you're in the mood, is maybe owning a full park, you know, buying the complete mm-hmm. mobile home park as well.
Yeah, actually we're doing that too. I mean, I looked at one this week with an owner who's 94 years old, owned a park for 65 years. So yeah, we're doing that as well. As you know, again, my advantage is I got some good financial backers, including other guys that right. were, you know, now we have kind of a proof of concept and say, hey, look at these 16 deals we've done. So now it makes economic sense. So it becomes easier to bring in other people because you got a proof of concept.
Without a doubt. And you understand how this business works. And after this podcast, I want to talk to you about that that park that you looked at. So
sure,
we need to talk about that. So 16 homes kind of hit the ground running when you first got started. These are all in parks. Let's talk about the team that you have, because we talked about that a little bit with regards to your capital partner,
right?
Which was huge. And thank you for just kind of, you know, saying that, because that is a person definitely who's on your team. Who else has been valuable for your team?
I think there's one guy, I don't know if you ever heard of him, John Federal. He really has been a good resource. No, truly, I mean, you've definitely been an integral part of the team. As you know, I talked to you a lot, and you've been great at responding. I mean, unbelievable, really, for the price, on responding of questions and comments and insights. So I mean, you would definitely be a big part of it. I mean, your program really just gives you the foundation, so you don't have to reinvent the wheel. And if I ever have an issue with title or other things, I mean, you're a phone call away. So you would definitely be a big part of the team with insight.
John Fedger here, and I quickly like to make an interruption, because as I'm editing this podcast for you, I really want to make it clear that whether you're a member of this training or mentoring that we have for you or not, I am here to help. I do not want to stand in your way at all or be a hindrance or anything or slow you down. So if you have mobile home investing questions or mobile home that you're looking at, or anything, good, bad, ugly, you know, questions, comments, please feel free to shoot them my way. You can always reach me at support@mobilehomeinvesting.net. That's support@mobilehomeinvesting.net. And that's it. Thanks so much for listening to this podcast, by the way. Now let's go back to that previously scheduled podcast.
I know you, of course, talked about a trustee. I mean, I have a trustee who's also a very good friend of mine. And he's been a great resource, too, because he does the he basically goes in. We got a relationship where he does the documents on the sale and on the buy. He's the trustee, and we set up trusts, like you said, on every single property. The other advantage is he's bilingual. So I mean, you get a lot of Spanish calls.
Yes.
Where only thing I can basically tell them is, mi español es muy mal, which is basically my Spanish is really bad, but I've got a friend who speaks Spanish, and then I give him the number. So that's been a nice resource, you know, where he's been able to, you know, really tie up some sales that I couldn't do myself because of the language barrier. And then, you know, I think as far as handymen also are a key part of your team, because you're going to run into deals that have value, but if you don't have the skill set, you know, you also don't want to get ripped off. You want to try to build a good group of people that you know you can give them business, and it's going to make economic sense for you.
Agreed. Where are you finding your handyman?
A lot of it's just been, you know, we've known other people. Like we've got, you know, one guy that we, another kind of mutual friend of ours who's done some real estate. Actually, it's through the trustee. Through my trustee, he's got a real good friend he does work with who's done some rentals and things like that. And he's been able to give us a guy who, you know, kind of an all-around guy who does stuff at a good price. And then the same thing, when I bought a home in a park, I was able to meet, he introduced me to another guy who lives in the park who was a handyman. So, you know, part of this becomes over time, you kind of give people chances. If they do a good job, you keep working with them. But, you know, that's how we found it. I did call a few ads, like on Craigslist, but they were all so crazy expensive. It didn't make economic, you know, sometimes, I mean, wanting to charge as much as the house I bought, you know, so it didn't make any economic sense. So just over time, you kind of learn, I think.
Good for you for seeing that, because you know, folks that are listening, you can get a home for, you know, you negotiated it. You feel so good. You negotiated it down to the price that you didn't even think you could get it for. And then making repairs, you're right. You can overpay someone, and maybe it's not overpaying. Maybe it's just quote unquote what they're normally paid. But there's a lot of people out there who will swing a hammer, who will, you know, fix some soft spots in a floor, who will stretch carpet over a newly fixed subfloor. So search for people, you know, find Tommy, like you were saying, you're getting quotes sometimes for prices that are like more than the home, I guess, more than what I paid.
Yeah,
for the home.
I mean, I think a couple things. I mean, I think like you said, you want to have the guy that's actually doing the work. So what a big company is going to do is you're going to keep half the money and then give the rest to the guy doing the work. So, you know, find the guy doing the work is one thing. And then, you know, other thing, we've just taken a stance of we're not going to pay you until the job's done.
Great.
Just because there's a lot of guys that, you know, want half the deposit. So that's the other thing that we've done, is we've just taken a stance. And now the guys that we do work with know they pay us, but some guys have said, no, I'm not going to do that. So, okay, fine, you know.
I'm so glad you said that. And it sounded, you know, we just kind of passed or breezed right past that, but I want to kind of go back because that's so important for people who are listening to this. I'm sure there's some people right now not agreeing, but do not pay anything. If your handy person, if your contractor can't float a job for a week or can't pay their people for a week or can't pay for materials for a week, they have bigger problems. So, and they can put a lien on your home way easier than you can find them or take them to court or get them get a judgment on them. So I agree, Tommy,
yeah.
You know, don't.
Okay, yeah, we've agreed.
Flat policy.
I'm sorry. If it's a big job, we will pay for the materials. But the other thing I've kind of learned is, like, we had one situation where a guy gave us a quote, and he did a great job, but his inventory was a lot more than he projected. You know, and that, you know, playing a devil's advocate, that could be another way to get ripped off, where someone, you know, a handyman gets $3,000 in inventory, but it's really $2,000 and keeps the other stuff. It goes back to Home Depot and returns it. So, like, when someone gives us a quote, we're now saying, like, listen, you're going to kind of live and die with this quote, including the cost of materials. You know, we'll pay it at Home Depot, but this is the quote, you know.
Do you have a scope of work with some sort of time penalty?
Yeah, we haven't had this penalty. I mean, I guess we could. We haven't had so far. We haven't had that problem. You know, part of it is because they're not getting paid until they're done.
Good point. Good point. So you don't pay them anything until 100% is done.
Right. Other than we will pay for material.
I like
you know,
that.
I mean, now we kind of have a pretty good relationship. Where if it's a big job, what they'll do is they'll call me. I mean, I don't even they'll call me at Home Depot or at whatever the flooring place is, and then. At that point, I'll give them the credit cards. I don't even have to pick the stuff up. Nice. You know.
But you used. But again, this came with time and experience. It wasn't this relationship starting off. You had to work up to this.
No, exactly. No, now it kind of, yeah, exactly. Now I trust. You know, I've got about three different guys I use in different capacities, and we trust them. You know.
Any tip that we didn't talk about with regards to a handyman, how to treat them, how to find them. Anything like that?
Well, I think you don't want to nickel and dime them to death. And I think it's like they're an important part of your team. So, I mean, you want to have a good relationship where they think good of you, too, and not try to save every single penny. Because, you know, when you buy a house, you also want them to accept the job because, you know, you got competition, too, of other people trying to give them work. You know, so, I try to pay them immediately. And even if it's a matter of they're half hour away, I'll try to get them you know, they're an important part of that. I'll try to pay them right away.
Great policy. Absolutely. Get them paid. That's what they want. That's why they're doing all this. So you mentioned,
right.
So for your building your team, and I got to say, this is certainly not a sales, you know, podcast or anything like that, but thank you for saying that, Tommy. You know, me being here and me helping you, you know, you're asking questions, you're the one doing it, you're building a name for yourself. I mean, I know all the hard work and crap and emotions that that you had to go through, or not all of it, I know some of it. And you know, I'm here, I'm happy to answer your questions. So for the folks listening, yeah, have somebody local there, some sort of investor, somebody local perhaps, or not so local, but somebody that you can ask real world questions to. We talked about, you know, trustee, handyman. I like using my tenants, the tenant buyers that I have, Tommy. I'm not sure. Have you transitioned any of your tenant buyers into handyman at all?
I had a seller that I used for some painting, and I've actually got other people I could use. You know, people that say they want to paint, but I mean, I haven't. I think that is a good idea. I do have one person who's a tenant buyer who. I think that's a great policy. If you're going to give someone money, give someone that owes you money, you know?
Yeah.
And, I do have a girl that, you know, part-time does some cleaning for us, you know, so we'll pay her, you know, to clean a mobile home.
Nice. Good. You can trust them. You know where they live sometimes.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yep. Yep.
And you know, when I'm closing with folks, usually I'll ask them, and if I'm selling them a handyman special, I know that they're kind of handy, but I'll typically ask them, you know, what other work do you do? Do you want to make any extra money? Do you have any free time? And I'll just keep that in the back of my head. I mean, some people will say no, or other people will say they can rebuild an entire mobile home and, you know, just good
right.
to have. A couple others that I was considering with regards to the team that we didn't talk about, and let me know your thoughts, but a realtor.
I haven't got into that. I haven't got into that yet, but I think that's a good point. I think also you should be a member of your local, you know, real estate investor association, you know, cause I mean, that's something that I go to.
Yes. Multiple. Let people know who you are. Let people know what you do. Find out how other people, what you can do to help other people. Because you're not going to do every deal, but you can certainly refer those deals out as well, and vice versa, if they have any mobile home leads that you don't want. And then attorneys as well, or some sort of maybe an attorney, a mobile home specialist, ideally. Finding an attorney that specializes in mobile homes, you can talk to the mobile home park managers and ask them who represents their mobile home parks. Because mobile home parks usually have an attorney representing them or an attorney on retainer. That would be somebody decent to know. Or like you said, from your real estate investing clubs, if you can meet an attorney there. You know, one that's obviously a real estate investor, one that's a player, you know, one that also invests in real estate themselves.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm also learning a lot. If you want to do some bigger deals like the mobile home park, or I've also got another piece we're working on, which is a piece of land with 22 mobile homes on there. They're owned by other people, but they're just kind of running out the land, which we're working on. So it's really nice. It's also good to have, that might be more of a commercial realtor. I mean, I got a really seasoned guy that I know that it's really able to do a lot of things, you know, who's also working with me on another mobile home park. So that's helpful to have somebody really knowledgeable too. on bigger
deals. And he's a legal, he's an attorney of some sort?
No, he's a real estate broker, but I mean, really, you know, a guy who's, you know, 70 years old, has been doing it forever on the commercial side. So, I mean, he understands more parks and probably a residential person, you know.
Hey, Tommy, I think now's a good time to bring up the fact that your team changes. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, your team changes depending on where you want to focus within the mobile home investing niche, so to speak. So if you're just doing what you're doing, which is great, by the way, but buying and selling mobile homes inside pre-existing communities, you know, your power team looks different than somebody else who's going to be buying and selling mobile homes on land or renting them out or dealing with, you know, the entire mobile home park, buying that, which you're getting into now. So dealing with just the mobile homes, what you've been doing, we're talking about having some sort of, you know, person locally or not so locally that you can ask real-time questions to, a trustee, a handyman, or two or three handymen, have a few backup, a capital partner in your case, Tommy. Bird dogs. We didn't so much talk about bird dogs. They kind of change, but we could say bird dogs. And then also a mortgage loan originator. You can have an MLO. And then with mobile homes on land, and then also mobile home, like buying the entire parks, you know, that's when we're talking about dealing with brokers, dealing with attorneys, dealing with realtors in your case. And then something we also didn't talk about, CPAs or bookkeepers as well for your business.
Yeah, no, because I've also backed by a financial guy, he's doing financial statements every month. So I think that's a good thing to do.
Excellent. With that said, the mobile home business has been, I love the fact that you're doing so much. Now, in this business, we kind of market and advertise like animals and let people know who we are. And I love that you have so much that's going on. You're looking at homes that are in parks, mobile homes that have to be moved, mobile homes that are going to, you know, on land, mobile homes that are the entire parks. I mean, there's so many things to do with these homes. And you're starting to do almost all of it. So I just love that you're like, you don't dip your toe in, Tommy.
It's a great business, a nice niche. You know, I mean, actually right after this call, one of the pieces that we have, I'm picking up keys to the other house that we just purchased, you know, so.
Now, since we kind of segued into that, do you mind talking about the numbers real quick, just so people can kind of, you know, understand a little bit about. Maybe, yeah, what this one deal looked like?
Yeah, we got a good deal. I mean, it's a 2002 mobile homes. If I send you the picture of the outside, it is literally beautiful. I mean, the outside is amazing. And an older couple that lived in it, and, you know, we're moving into more of a subsidized housing thing. So they're really having a hard time, you know, financially, that they needed to make a move. And they also, the inside's kind of beat up, where it really needs two new bathrooms. They only have one toilet that's kind of running, the other one doesn't. Some floor issues in the bathroom. So we actually are buying it for $3,000. As is, I gave them $1,000. I'm giving them the balance now.
Today.
And, you know, in about an hour. and I got a quote in the bathroom. So, I mean, I think I got a quote of really putting in completely new bathrooms, painting the cabinets in the kitchen, painting the cabinets in the bathroom, doing a carpet cleaning. You know, so I think the labor was $930, and the material was like $800. His projections, my guy, so about $1,700. So I mean, my goal is on a three bedroom, kind of like what you do. You know, if you're going to buy a nice three bedroom for $5,000, you're going to be okay.
Very okay. Is this in a senior park or a family park?
No, it's a family park. Really nice park too. I mean, really nice part.
What is something that you, this is a different question or on a different tangent. What is what's something that you weren't expecting? I mean, you had, like I said before, you're obviously going, mobile homes is where it's at. You're happy doing this. What's something that you weren't expecting? We've been talking about pretty good all this whole time, but yeah, what's something, well, and I guess good or bad, what's something that you just kind of took you by surprise with this business?
I think what did take me by surprise is I got attacked by like 50 fleas one time. that took me by surprise, which I'm still actually going through that issue. I mean, that was one house we took back. Woman had six cats, decided to move out. We came, took it back, and actually I had it clean for whatever reason. She didn't have a problem, I didn't think. And then all of a sudden, I was going back and forth there, so I got, you know, really hit hard with the fleas. So that was, you know, that was not fun. But yeah, I mean, all jokes aside, I think it's definitely a 7 day a week job, which I don't mind. You know, I mean, you could do it part time, of course, but if you're going to do the kind of numbers we're doing, you got to kind of, put your feet a little bit every day to kind of look. If someone wants to meet on a Sunday, there's competition. I mean, for buyers, I think, like you told me this too, John, deals happen pretty fast. So if someone calls you and they got $3,000, if you don't show it to them till next Thursday, so I'll show it to you next Thursday, that's a very good chance that they're going to give someone else that money, So you kind of have to make yourself available, I think it's good to screen, like we've talked about before, you got to screen buyers. It is going to happen where you're going to get stood up, Even if you tell someone, okay, I'm, right before you call them, that's just part of realtors have the same problem. there's some similarities, but that's going to happen sometimes, nothing you can do about it.
Any advice for somebody coming into this business, and they want to do the same thing? They don't want to do maybe one deal every month. They want to do more than that. Any specific advice for someone like that?
I think you have to put together a team we talked about. That's helpful, for sure. And then, you got to have the mindset of working hard. But, the beauty of this business is a residual income, hopefully you can – that's very motivating if you can keep doing numbers every month. Eventually it gets really pretty good. I mean, not that you don't have issues you have to deal with, it's going to happen. But it's a good, it's a good business you have. But, if you don't work, it's not going to work. So you got to put some type of time in every week to make that, make things happen.
Tommy, thank you so much for being here. I know you have to go and wrap up this closing. I know you have literally deals to attend to right now. Thank you so much for being here. I'm sure I'll talk to you a little bit later today anyway, but thank you so much for being here and just kind of opening up your business and telling what we've been talking about here. I know we can talk literally for more for hours and hours about this, but thank you again just for being here and opening up your business. And I'd love to have you back on it for another podcast in the future.
Sure. Thanks, John. Perfect. I appreciate all your help.
The ideas and advice given in today's episode are for entertainment purposes only. If you have future ideas or questions for upcoming episodes, please email us at support@mobilehomeinvesting.net. If you've enjoyed this podcast episode, the biggest compliment you can give is to like and share this podcast with your friends.